Hi, this is Paddy Billington, and welcome to episode 21 of the Visit Scarborough podcast. Well, it's been a while, hasn't it? And I apologise for that. And thank you for your messages asking when we're going to be doing another episode. Here it is, our first one of 2022. You could call it a second series, I suppose, after the length of break that we've had. The last episode was back in July 2021. So thank you for your patience. In this episode, well, there's a bit of a marine feel, actually. We're going to be speaking to the General Manager of Scarborough Sea Life Centre about some exciting plans the attraction has for 2022. Also, we're chatting to RSPB Bempton Cliffs. It's been quiet over Christmas and the early part of New Year, but it's about to get a whole lot busier and noisier with the arrival of, well, many thousands of seabirds. So we're speaking to Bempton Cliffs very shortly. And also Stuart Baines, who runs the Scarborough Porpoise Facebook page, on the exciting news that for the first time that he can remember, dolphins have been spotted in the area every month for an entire year. And that really is very exciting. And we've got a topic for this episode of the Visit Scarborough podcast. What is the one thing you have to do every time you visit Scarborough? And we'll bring you some tourism news, good news for bathers in Scarborough's South Bay, a big concert announcement for the Scarborough Open Air Theatre, and the Stephen Josie Theatre in Scarborough have unveiled their shows for 2022. But we'll start with a visit to Scarborough Sea Life. I had a chat with the General Manager, Andrew Turner, about exciting plans for 2022. But I first asked him how 2021 had gone after many of the COVID-19 restrictions had lifted.
Yeah, it was a challenging year, as it was for everybody, in the attraction hospitality industry. It didn't really stop for us. We've got the animals here, so we had to be in looking after those 7 days a week regardless. So it was, you know, challenging with the stop start, the opening and the reclosing. But, you know, it was one of those things where, you know, we just kind of had to react and get on and, you know, react to the news as and when it came in, really.
And, of course, now we've got the Omicron variant, which, you know, has given people a lot of concern. How are you coping with that here at Sea Life?
It's exactly the same as it was last year. We've kept all of our COVID measures in place in terms of time ticket entry, in terms of reduced capacity. So we've not changed anything. We are literally focused on health and safety of guests and obviously that of our team. So whilst this is, you know, still certainly not gone away, we're just focusing on, you know, not changing anything. We've not reduced anything, so it's still, you know, exactly as it was last year.
And the attraction now is over 30 years old, if I'm right in thinking. I'm sure it was the early 90s, wasn't it? So it's been around a long time now, hasn't it, Sea Life?
It has indeed, yeah, 91. So, we're going through a full phase of basically updating all of our displays, all of our exhibits and areas. We did the Hyde last year, we did Coral Cove last year. This year we're focusing on our outdoor spaces and our jellyfish. So there's going to be some nice new key exhibits for people to come back and see this year.
Yeah, we're right by the penguins. They're one of the favourite attractions here, aren't they?
Yeah, no one gets tired of the penguins. Everyone loves those. So, that's one of those attractions where you can get right up close and personal, walking through the exhibit with the penguins. And, they love it just as much as the guests do, to be honest.
Yeah, and let's not forget, of course, the vital work you do when it comes to seal rescue locally.
Yeah, so we've got a big piece of work going on with our seal rescue rehab pool. What that will do is it'll hopefully give us the opportunity to rescue more, bring more seals in, rehabilitate and release, because, you know, it's a key component of what we do at Sea Life.
Yeah, so when you are remodelling, then I suppose you're thinking of two things. What's best for the animals that are here, but also, you know, you're thinking of visitor experience too, aren't you? So I guess it's getting that balance right, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. There's an awful lot of work, you know, as well as just having the creatures on display for people to come and see. There's an awful lot of conservation work, what the guys do behind the scenes. And I think, you know, this year, we really want to focus on getting that message across as to what they do and more importantly, how guests can engage with that and help when they're out and about enjoying the coastline and the countryside.
It's been a great 12 months, hasn't it, locally, with all the dolphin sightings. You know, suddenly Scarborough, this area, is becoming quite famous for seeing marine life like that. And, of course, we get the whales every year as well. And it must be perfect for you having the attraction here if that's what's happening locally, if it's becoming more famous for sightings like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, across in the bay, just literally where we're stood now, you can see the porpoise, the dolphins, they're always there, which is why we built the Hyde. So instead of, we want to really focus on that and tell you know, our visitors what there is out in the bay and up and down the coastline. So, you know, a major component of last year's edition was the Hyde. So that gives you that opportunity to see everything what's in the attraction, but then also look out across the bay and see, because there's so much more.
So for those that haven't been to Sea Life for a little while, there will be some new stuff to look forward to this year then. So just go over again exactly what people can look forward to in 2022.
So we're doing a great big piece of work with our Seal Rescue Rehabilitation Centre. That'll be up and running after February, and our jellyfish is going to be the key component inside. So like we did with Coral Cove last year, it's completely getting reworked, getting, you know, a revisit basically. And what we're going to do there is tell a story about how we basically breed and supply the rest of the sea life centres up and down the country with jellyfish. It's a great conservation story.
Brilliant. And you must never tire of the view. It's just amazing here, isn't it? Sunny morning like this with the sun rising over the Castle Headland in the background. What a great place to work.
Yeah, no 2 days are the same. You can walk around, like I say, 7 days a week and get a different view. It's amazing. It's beautiful.
You haven't remodelled the office yet to get a view of this, though, because if I remember rightly, you're sort of tucked away at the back, aren't you?
Yeah, we certainly are. But now we've got the benches and we've put in the new perimeter fences and we've opened all those up, so it's not the fixed fencing. To be honest, I'll probably be working from outside during the summer.
Brilliant. Thanks so much for your time. Appreciate it.
No problem at all. Thank you.
That is Andrew Turner, General Manager of Scarborough Sea Life, and it was a beautiful morning when we were there, standing outside looking over North Bay with the sun sparkling on the sea. Perfect. Great attraction. If you haven't been for a while, well worth a visit in 2022. Another place well worth a visit in 2022 is Bempton Cliffs. Some of the most spectacular cliffs in the whole world, really, and home to tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of seabirds during the year. It's about 15, 20 miles south of Scarborough, and I'm delighted to say joining me now is one of the visitor experience managers on site, Poppy Rummery. Well, I imagine this time of year is fairly quiet, Poppy.
Yeah, absolutely. It is the quieter season for us at the minute. We don't have all the seabirds with us, but fantastically, we've got plenty of short-eared owls around at the minute. So they're attracting lots of visitors. Yeah, the wildlife is still pretty spectacular in the winter, and we're waiting for the seabirds to return now.
When do they arrive back? When do they start arriving back?
Gannets, early February. So we are seeing quite a few of them flying past already. We've still got fulmars around on the cliffs. They tend to spend the majority of the time with us throughout the year. But the numbers will start to build again soon. Puffins and razorbills and guillemots, so our lovely little auks, they will start arriving back towards the end of March, early April, and they'll stay with us until about mid-July. So it's only a very small window that we have them on the reserve.
Obviously, the place does come alive, doesn't it? I mean, how many birds do you have at the reserve? It kind of becomes Seabird City, doesn't it?
It does, absolutely. It's nearly 500,000 breeding seabirds in the height of the season, which is pretty spectacular. So when you kind of go from that in the summer till winter, when it's truly a seabird city, and the noise, the smell, the sight, it really does wow you.
For those that have never been to Bempton Cliffs before, the moment that you get to that first viewpoint and you look over the edge, it's an unforgettable moment, isn't it? There is very little like it.
Definitely. I think, initially, the first time I ever stepped foot on a viewpoint and the first viewpoint, and just to stand there and take all of that in, it's just like overwhelming the senses and just makes it incredibly spectacular. And to see birds so close as well, you have them nesting metres from you. It's pretty spectacular.
How has it been in the last couple of years with the pandemic as well? I mean, I suppose you're lucky that it's so outdoors, the attraction, but obviously it will have affected the visitor centre, and I know that that's changed quite a lot over the years. It's become bigger. You're doing more stuff there. How has it been during the pandemic at Bempton Cliffs?
So I actually started in role on the day of the very first lockdown back in 2020. My first experience working there was in lockdown, when it was all very different and I was meeting lots of people virtually that I was going to be working with. So that was quite interesting. Back in 2020, the visitor facilities were closed and we were only really open for people sort of doing their daily exercise. And as soon as people were able to come out, sort of back in 2020 and last year as well, we had exceptional visitor numbers. There were so many people wanting to get out and of course wanted to make up for missing out on seeing the seabirds the year before. We were filling up pretty much all of our car parks.
Yes, and you had some special visitors as well, including the famous albatross, which got you national television awareness and all of that. I mean, people were very excited about that, weren't they?
Absolutely, yeah. The albatross was pretty pretty spectacular. I missed it when it was first arrived in 2020 and stayed for a couple of days, but was really pleased to actually see it last year. And I think because it was around for so long, so many months, so many people saw it, had plenty of visitors, lots of puffin spotters, but then lots of albatross spotters as well. So there was just a really nice, diverse mix of people around on the reserve. And it was just great to have so many fantastic conversations with people.
Great. And finally, you know, are there any plans to change anything in 2022? I suppose there's not an awful lot that you can do on the site. The cliffs are as they are. You've got the visitors that come. But have you got any plans for this year?
So the last couple of years, our events programme has been very, I'd say, minimal, just due to COVID advisories and things. So this year, we've actually planned out an entire events programme, which is absolutely jam-packed of events. Which have started to go live on our website now. So what they were, get them running, getting people engaged, make this year another, I say a good one to remember, but for the right reasons.
Yes, well, best of luck with it. It's a wonderful attraction. Reminds me, I must bring my kids along to it again just to see their faces when they lean over the fencing, you know, for the first time in ages. That just takes your breath away, doesn't it? And it's the sight, the
Absolutely.
Sound, the smell when all those birds are there as well, which makes it a very special place. Yeah, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it.
That's all right. No worries. Thank you for having me.
That is Poppy Rummery from RSPB Bempton Cliffs. Definitely worth a visit in 2022. Well, this is episode 21 of the Visit Scarborough podcast, and I'm Paddy Billington. I run the Visit Scarborough website. It's completely independent, nothing to do with the official tourism authority or the local council. It is purely my passion for Scarborough online and, of course, on this podcast as well. Please do give us a follow on social media. Just search for Visit Scarborough. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And actually on Facebook, we put this question, especially for this episode of the podcast. What is the one thing that you have to do every time you visit Scarborough? Antonio McGregor says, I always go to the lifeboat chippy when we get off the train. We have to get fish and chips. It's been a family tradition for years. Angela Comer Popple says, a walk on Marine Drive. I love that walk. Judy Campbell says, we get a Harbour Bar lemon top ice cream and calling it the chippy at Staxton on the way home. Brenda Frost says, it's the fish pan chippy and then a whippy ice cream to start the day. Sandra June Bomb says, P-Zone Park, Marine Drive, Harbour Bar for milkshakes. Brilliant. Ken Williams enjoys the views from Scarborough Castle, and Catherine Hudson says, it's got to be a coffee in the Harbour Bar. And Suzanne Goose, rowing boats in P-Zone Park and feeding the squirrels in the Italian gardens. We'll do some more of those comments very soon. The one thing that you must do every time you visit Scarborough. Right now, well, the marine theme continues. We've already spoken to Scarborough Sea Life and Bempton Cliffs. And now it's a delight to welcome back onto the Visit Scarborough podcast for the first time in 2022, Stuart Baines. He runs the incredibly popular Scarborough Porpoise Facebook page. Must be about 50,000 followers on there right now. And he's put so many new followers on in the last year because this guy is incredible at spotting dolphins, porpoises, even whales, usually from Marine Drive in Scarborough. Yes, you can see all of that from Marine Drive in Scarborough. Aren't we lucky? And Stuart, you've just posted something recently, a great little stat about dolphin sightings on the Yorkshire coast. Tell us more.
Oh, well, it's very exciting. For the first time in recorded records that we hold here, we've had bottlenose dolphin sightings every month for the last 12 months. So, normally, in previous 2 years or 3 years, when we've had a lot of bottlenose dolphin visits, they have appeared between sort of end of February through to mid-November. But this year, we've had sightings in December and January, and now February again, early February, which is great. It means that they are spending more and more time down here off the Yorkshire coast and around Scarborough. In fact, Tuesday and yesterday, we had bottlenose dolphins off Filey in Scarborough this afternoon. So it's exciting times, yeah.
Because what we have been saying is that these dolphins have been on holiday on the Yorkshire coast, you know, visiting from Scotland. So do you think it could be getting to that point where we may end up with resident bottlenose dolphins on the Yorkshire coast?
Well, it could be. We're getting the trend is increasing in numbers for increasing visits. So rather than, as you say, just having them during the summer period when there's plenty of food from around, small fish like mackerel and salmon and sea trout, they seem to be occasionally visiting here during the winter as well. They haven't previously, but that you could almost class them as a sort of residential species. Yeah, I mean, not here all the time. They do, as we know, move up and down, perhaps between here and all the way up to Scotland again, but up and down the coast. But they are progressively more common in the winter, so it's great news, yeah.
And it's made headlines recently. Bottlenose dolphins spotted near Goole, you know, going up the River Humber and the River Ouse. Incredible, really.
What looks like bottlenose dolphin have been, a pair of them too, have been up there for now about 3 or 4 weeks, I think. They appear to be finding food. They've been seen catching small fish and what have you. So they are sort of established themselves in the area of the Yorkshire coast and, as you say, occasionally going up rivers. Our other common species around here is the harbour porpoise, and which are common on Scarborough and Yorkshire. They quite commonly go up rivers and have been seen up the Ouse as far as Fulford or even York, but it's unusual to get dolphins up there. But, it's certainly changing times, and it's going to be very interesting to see how it evolves, how the species numbers increase, because I think it will continue this year to be as good as, if not better, as far as the visits of the bottlenose is concerned, and the chances for your listeners to go out and see them around Scarborough and Yorkshire, you know.
So do we know any more about why? I know there's been speculation over fish stocks, lockdown, quieter seas. Is there any more research being done into why these numbers are increasing?
Well, they've constantly been sort of referenced and looked into as to any reasoning, but it's basically part of a spread which has been happening all the way down the East Coast. It's about 25 years ago, the bottlenose dolphins population used to just reside around the Murray Firth up near Inverness. And over that 25-year period, they have gradually spread down eastern Scotland, Northumberland, and now Yorkshire. So it's been not been a process that's happened in the last couple of years. It's been ongoing for, as I say, over 20 years. We don't think it's something to do with the lockdown and changes in people's habits as far as going outside is concerned and visiting the coast. It's just in that species they're finding food more and more down the coast. We're not sure whether it's because they're coming down because there's less food where they were before, and so they're exploring new areas, or they're just finding more additional food to what they were consuming before.
And finally, just remind people where the best places are to spot dolphins, porpoises, and even occasional whales as well. I mean, I suppose the great thing is you don't have to be on a boat to see them, do you, here on the Yorkshire coast?
You don't need to be. No. I mean, there are boats that run out of the harbour to wildlife trips. But certainly, anyone who's walking around the Marine Drive at Scarborough, if it's safe to do so, just keep an eye on the sea because... I mean, even this morning I was down, there were 6 porpoise hunting off a Marine Drive, which were quite visible in a nice calm sea. But that's the place, just walk around there and you'll hopefully see porpoise, possibly bottlenose dolphin, as you say. Even some visiting minke whales in the summer. I've seen them 2 or 3 times in the North Bay last summer. So there's a spectacular amount of marine wildlife out there. And I'd like to encourage people, your listeners, to go out and see it if they possibly can.
Yeah, and whereas there used to be just you, one or two others, I mean, I've seen pictures that you've posted of dozens of people enjoying a spectacle of dolphins. So people are aware, aren't they? And it's just great if more people can enjoy it.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I think the word is spread. I want a Facebook page called Scarborough Porpoise. If people are on Facebook, they can have a look at that. There's now over 45,000 followers on that page. And a lot of people now you see walking around the Marine Drive with binoculars or just looking out to sea where they didn't used to do. People would perhaps just be thinking about fish and chips. And now they're thinking about fish and chips and dolphins or porpoise. So it's all great news.
Great. Well, I'll keep an eye on that page. Thank you for your time, Stuart. Happy,
no problem, Paddy.
Happy cetacean spotting. Have I said that right?
Something like that. Yeah, that's about right. Yeah. So, yeah, I hope you see some this summer as well, Paddy. Hope you get to see some dolphins at some point.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know you did from up by the castle, didn't you?
Yes, saw dolphins. Well, saw dolphins a few times last summer. Once was on a speedboat, so the kids got to see them, which was brilliant. A couple of times from East Pier on the harbour, and even once on the beach in South Bay. And I tell you what, one big clue was seeing the speedboats and some of the pleasure boats just stop and just bobbing up and down. I thought, I wonder what's going on. So just to look out and you could see the dolphins there.
Doing that earlier, looking at the boats to see what their activity is. And also seabirds, things like the seagulls tend to hover over the dolphins as they're swimming along because they're trying to catch bits of fish. So if you see a group of seagulls over the sea slowly moving, it's always worth looking underneath. It could be a big fin under there, you know.
Yeah, brilliant. Interesting. Right, thank you so much, Stuart. We'll speak again. Take care.
Okay, Paddy. No problem. Cheers. Bye for now.
So that was Stuart Baines from the Scarborough Paupers Facebook page. So exciting times. If you're visiting Scarborough this year, do keep your eyes out for bottlenose dolphins regularly sighted in 2021. And it looks like they're still here. And we're expecting even more sightings as we head towards those summer months. Now, on the Visit Scarborough Facebook page, what is the one thing you always have to do when you visit Scarborough? Now, North Sea View Apartment have left a comment. They say a good thing to do is take the short walk from our apartment to North Bay Beach and sit with the Freddy statue and watch the sea. That is the giant statue on the giant bench in North Bay. I'm sure a lot of you will recognise that. Stephanie Meller says, walking Marine Drive is a top one for me, but a close second is walking through the Italian gardens before breakfast at the Clock Cafe. Now you're talking. Steve Featherson says, have a North Bay Fisheries chippy best in Scarborough. Lynn Pask always goes to Jono's Field. Jono's Field is sort of in the middle of town, really, near the Barrowcliff part of Scarborough, and you do get great views from up there across a lot of the rooftops and towards the Castle Headland in Scarborough. It's a good place to spend a bit of time. Also commenting, Emily Bentley, the clue is in the name, when she says, visit Bentley's Coffee Shop in Scarborough. I'm guessing that's yours. Diane Kirby, fish and chips at Small Fry, the best ever, then a walk around the Marine Drive, and then tea and scones at the Clock Cafe. You can't beat it. Well, I do agree that Small Fry fish and chips on North Street in Scarborough are absolutely superb. And they've been there a long time, and they still taste as amazing as ever. Graham Live enjoys a scone and a cuppa at the Clock Cafe. Dave Kerr says, for us, it's got to be Pedalo's in Pezone Park after an open-top bus ride around the promenade. Diane Phillips says, I always have a roast pork and stuffing muffin from Baxter's. Delicious every time. Baxter's are in the town centre on the precinct. And Karen Allett says, we always enjoy a lovely stroll from South Bay through the Italian Gardens and along the front to Scorby Mills for a drink. And then we catch the open top bus back to the spa and back up via the cliff lift. Oh, and fish and chips at some point too. And Cheryl Day says, speedboat ride and then fish and chips. And Vivmore, we eat at the Jolly Sailor Pub at Clouton and then go to Alpamare Water Park. Have you noticed how many times fish and chips are getting a mention there? An awful lot in terms of the things you always have to do when you visit Scarborough. And now it's time for some tourism news for Scarborough. And Scarborough's beach has been named the UK's fourth most popular on Instagram. A study by luxuryhotel.com found Scarborough Beach has 126 hashtags per square metre. That figure was created by using the amount of hashtags compared to the length of the beach. Now, Scarborough Beach in total had 158,532 hashtags on Instagram. The beach is deemed to be a mile long. It's not clear if Scarborough having two beaches was taken into account. But anyway, topping the list was Kynance Cove in Cornwall, 54,847 hashtags for just 200 metres of beach. So that gives it a total of 272 hashtags per square metre. So the top five looks like this. Kynance Cove, Cornwall at one. Brighton Beach in East Sussex at two. Fistral Beach in Cornwall at three. Scarborough Beach, Yorkshire at four. And Botany Bay in Kent at five. And no surprise that comes in that top five list because it's just got a great name, hasn't it? Botany Bay. You're going to Instagram when you're on a beach called Botany Bay, aren't you? Also, we've had some big Scarborough Open Air Theatre concert announcements, the biggest of which is Christina Aguilera is coming to the Scarborough Open Air Theatre this August. 2nd of August, tickets on sale now, and you can actually buy them direct from the Visit Scarborough website. Just go to visitscarborough.com You'll see the link there to buy your Scarborough Open Air Theatre concert tickets you can get via our website right now. Good news for Scarborough's South Bay. For the last few years, since standards were raised, South Bay has always failed when it comes to its bathing water quality, with visitors and locals actually advised against bathing in the sea. It's not really stopped people, but it's certainly been a bit of a blot for the resort. Well, now it's passed. And more good news, North Bay has retained its blue flag status as well. So good news for bathing in Scarborough in 2022. And Stephen Jersey Theatre in Scarborough have announced their shows for 2022. A new adaptation of a classic novel, an adaptation of a favourite British movie, Alan Ayckbourn's 87th play, a time-bending romance, and a new version of Cinderella. They've all been announced. So alongside a very busy programme of visiting productions, the theatre's in-house team will this year present Jane Eyre by Charlotte Bronte, adapted for the stage by Chris Bush. That'll be on 8th to the 30th of April. Brief Encounter, original screenplay by Noel Coward, adapted for the stage by Emma Rice. That is on the 22nd of July until the 27th of August. Family Album, written and directed by Alan Ayckbourn. This is the 2nd of September to the 1st of October. Constellations by Nick Payne, directed by Paul Robinson, 28th of October to the 12th of November. And Cinderella, adapted by Nick Lane from the story by the Brothers Grimm. That is on the 2nd of December through to the 31st of December. And you get more on events happening in Scarborough in 2022 at visitscarborough.com/events. And that is your latest tourism news. Well, that's almost it for episode 21 of the Visit Scarborough podcast, our first episode in over half a year. But don't worry, we're going to be bringing you regular episodes on the Visit Scarborough podcast through 2022. And in fact, if you can subscribe to the Visit Scarborough podcast, wherever you get your podcasts from, then you'll get notified whenever a new episode comes out. We're on Spotify, we're on iTunes, we're everywhere, really. And if you can leave us a review, that is also hugely helpful in getting the Visit Scarborough podcast out there. Delighted to say we've got 100% five-star rating on iTunes, which is brilliant. Thank you so much. We'll just finish off with some more of your comments on that one thing that you have to do every time you visit Scarborough. Amanda Shelbourne says, I always open my car door and hearing the sound of the sea and the seagulls, I know I'm back in Scarborough. Then I walk to the sea life and see our adopted seal, Eddie. We love Scarborough and love listening to This Is The Coast, the local radio station every morning. That's great to hear, Amanda, because I do the breakfast show on This Is The Coast, as I'm sure you will know. Linda Rose says, I visit the castle every time I go to Scarborough. Joanne Brown, we always go to the Teapot Cafe on the harbour side for toasty tea cakes and milky coffee. We've been coming to this cafe every year for over 40 years. Amazing. Paul Greaves says, I buy fish and chips at what I think is the best place for them. But interestingly, he doesn't say, wants to keep it a secret. Thanks for listening. The Visit Scarborough podcast is an NPB production.